my friends. How is everyone doing today? Today is July 10th. Past that July 4th. Lots of fireworks. How did you spend your 4th? I was out today early in the morning. It's a Monday. It's July 10th. 5:30 a.m. I woke up at 5 a.m. But at 5:30, we're out there. Circle time. Doing a little workout, a little Murph. I'm really enjoying this competition. It's a side note, if you're listening in and not familiar with that term, hopefully I'm saying the term right, Murph. It's exercise set. So you've got 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats, body weight. Now you can add a 20-pound increment to it, I believe. And I have done that, which is brutal. And then you're doing that plus a 2-mile run. And I think the structure sequence is you do 1-mile run, and then you do that workout there, and then you finish it off with the other mile. I've been mixing it up, but this morning we were out there and put it in. I mean, you saw guys sweating. And it's nice because, you know, it's 5:30 in the morning, and we're getting the workout in, and we're done by 6:15. And it's like, wow, how much did we accomplish? Today's episode is focused on healthy habits that I think we need to be aware of. They're important for us to really not only build, but nurture and sustain through life. And I started by sharing that workout, the Murph, because, you know, your day, your healthy habit can start the moment you open up your eyes. You know, you wake up, and what are you doing when you get out of bed? So let's start there. And I'll use some vulnerability here. I'll give you a couple of things that I've kept pretty structured in my life. So I'm a big fan of making my bed. And let's start there. You know, you wake up, and if you implement that habit, I know there's so many different opinions, subjective views around making your bed. But I bet you can't argue too much on this one. Imagine this. You're stressed from work, and you're like, I need a break. So you go, and you book this vacation, and you're excited about it. So you're heading off on this wonderful trip. You take this airplane, or maybe you're driving out with the family, and then you get to the hotel or your resort, right? I want you to close your eyes and imagine this place, and you put that key in there, or you swipe right now and then, and you open up that room, and then right away you see, right? Your eyes are open. You look in the room, and you got two options. You know, one is you see a clean, organized bed. Option two, you see a messy room. I bet your bottom dollar you're going to want that clean room. You're going to want that organized room. You want that sheet tucked in. You want it to look crisp, pristine. And there's an effect that takes place. You know, when you see a room and it's organized, and research stands behind this, there's like a boost in productivity, a boost in mental clarity. You feel organized, you feel structured, you feel ready. It's like this relief of, man, this is great. And my motto is, why not give myself that every single day? So I try to stand by it. And that's the first habit I want to mention here. It takes no more than 5 minutes. You know, I wake up out of bed. And it's funny because sometimes my wife, she'll be like, can you wait at least till I get out of bed? And most of the time I do. But I hop out of bed or roll out of bed, or, you know, now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like, oh, cracking those bones, get out of bed. One of the first habits that I do is I make that bed. And it's not professional. I mean, you know, it's not going to look like a 5-star bed, you know, every corner tucked in. But it's done, you know, what I find to be effective and efficient. And I'll tell you, I feel good afterwards. I look at it and I'm like, that to me, that looks a lot better in a messy bed. And that makes me feel good. I mean, it helps my mind. It helps my mood. And you know what's nice is at the end of the day, when I'm just ready to get in there, I love getting into a made bed. There's something about it that I really enjoy. And that's something I get excited about. Sometimes I'll step it up. I'll add a little more to this habit where I may get some fragrance and toss it in there so that it's just, you may be laughing at me. But I enjoy it. You know, maybe some lavender, or eucalyptus, some sort of smell like that. And I tuck it in there nice and organized. And then later in the evening, when I'm going in and I'm just sticking my legs right into those, comfy tight sheets, that smell hits me and I'm like, ah, this is heaven. So again, it's a habit that's consistently in there. All right, so that's the first one. The second one was what I mentioned earlier, exercise. I think there's three areas that I live with consistently, and it focuses on mental, physical, and spiritual. So this one I'm going to go into has to do with physical, and I look at what can I do every single day, each day that has a physical component to it. And right now, part of the F3 group, and it's fitness. That's one of the core F's in that organization. So for me, I'm engaging, and whether I'm doing a push-up, a pull-up, a squat, maybe I can't make a workout, so I'm at home and I'm hitting the gym, punching the bag, on the row machine, treadmill, running with the kids, whatever it may be, movement. And my friend, you listening, it can be your definition of movement. If movement for you is yoga, hop on it. If movement for you is getting on a cycle, on a Peloton, something like that, do it. If it's jumping into a lake, if it's gardening, yard work, whatever that movement is, you hold that definition, you hold that essence, and allow that to be a consistent part of your life. So that's an essential habit that I think must be ingrained into our fabric. And before we go to number three, let's think about the big picture. Why do we want these habits into our life? Well, habits, they do a lot. It's a very basic introduction there. What they do is they allow us to acknowledge a very basic element of life. Life is very much like a valley. It's gonna have its ups and downs. Why not equip yourself for those up and downs? And that's what habits allow you to do. If I consistently engage in, let's just say the second one I mentioned, the habit of exercise, well, you know what? That means that when I start experiencing stress from the normal stressful things in life, if I start experiencing pain on my back from sitting too long, well, that habit of fitness, I'm really excited that I've been consistent with it, because that's going to allow me to navigate those hurdles with the tools needed. And I think most of us have been in situations where we get chopped down a little bit, and then we're like, oh, I would have went through that so much better if I would have had blank tools. We know that now in the present, we can't go back to the past. I think another really key element of why we want these habits, they focus on the life that you're living, the meaning that you're creating, the purpose, your fulfillment. And many of you listening, I believe all of you listening, you have such an important meaning in your life. You have so many things that you probably want to fulfill and dreams you want to accomplish. Engaging, creating these habits and sustaining them, feeding them like a beautiful plant. You consistently feed them, and they will allow you to navigate those ups and downs, those hurdles that you have in your life. And really, the list can go on. We can go into the category of stress, of depression that we may experience, of anxiety that we may experience, and having these healthy habits combat it. There's wonderful research that speaks to the impact of fitness, engaging in fitness, the effect that it has on the human mind and body. It's right, it's closely there in line with medication. And I find that as a moment of, whoa, let's pause for a moment. So you're telling me that if I'm struggling maybe with stress in my life or anxiety or depression, that by engaging in fitness, exercise, running, movement, I can alleviate some of those symptoms? And the answer is, there's research behind it. It's gonna support. It may not solve it, but you're gonna see an immense level of support. So the next area, this one has to do with our food intake. And the habit here, I've got a colleague of mine that's a nutritionist, so I chatted with them for a little bit. And one of the important items that they brought to my attention is mindful eating. Mindful eating from the component of really thinking about the goals that you have for your body. What do you want this machine to do? And then thinking about the foods that you bring in, what are those foods doing? What's their job? How are they supporting or not supporting you? And I'll give you an example. Sometimes I have what are called my cheat meals, and I love them, though there's a back and forth battle that we have. But I find this really interesting. If I have a cheat meal, I often afterwards feel a little bit tired. I get some of that itis, a bit lethargic. I may even have, a stomach ache, if you will. Maybe I ate a couple of, too many French fries, if you will. And then when I have my greens, maybe when I'm having a turkey burger, maybe when I switch out one type of oil for a different type of oil, I see a shift. When I notice that I'm drinking more water and maybe less beer or less soda, I notice a shift. And when it comes to mindful eating, it's you being a bit more intentional, holding a connection between you and the food. And then you have this food in front of you, and before you consume it, you're looking at, what's the purpose here? What's the big picture? How can I have a healthy relationship with you? And I find that it's really essential to go into that area, and it's individual for all of us. What we really want to steer away from is bringing shame into what we're eating. We really want to go away from that. Just like we want to really go away from bringing shame into our own image. I find that with mindful eating, consuming, there's gratitude. Gratitude that you have this food in front of you. You're like, oh, how lucky am I to have this plate full of food? And today I had this 5 mile run, and I pumped out 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and I bet my body's really wanting some of this protein. I bet my body's really wanting some of these good fats. And that, that message there, that came from a colleague of mine, and I was like, it's brilliant. And I think how wonderful is that for us to have that relationship with our food? It completely changes the ball game. So it's a habit that I want you to start practicing, thinking about A, what's my relationship with food? B, how does mindfulness play into it? C, look at shame. Is there a relationship in there? If so, we really want to push that out and bring in a healthier platform. The other area that we want to look at when we consider habits, this one is your time with nature. I'm a dad, and I like to consume a lot of books on parenting. Everything, my kids aren't even teens yet, and I'm already reading teen books. So I really consume as much as I can to learn, to learn on what's ahead, to learn on what to expect right now. It brings me comfort. And I know that there's no way of knowing everything, but it gives me a rough idea of what may happen and what may not happen, especially what to avoid. So with nature, what I find really fascinating is that ample books on parenting go into the importance of allowing our kids to play outside. Shoes off, get out there, let them play, and let them learn how to share while playing. Let them learn how to take turns while playing. Let them learn, responsibility, morals, ethics, etc. And I think in our adulthood, we may lose a bit of that. I had this really wonderful experience that had to do with nature. We had a recent workout, Six Shift led it, and he had us play soccer. So it was all the dads, like 30 of us out there, and our kids. And the ages range from, I think, 6 years old to, maybe some of the old timers out there, some in 40, 50, 60s. Hall Pass, he was probably out there like at 98, 99, maybe 100. He'll get me for that. And we were playing, and it was nice to see the kids laughing and running, and it was nice to see the adults doing the same thing. And we were sweating, and the sprinklers were on, kids are running through them. People are bumping every so often on each other. People are taking turns and being courteous and kind and supportive. And we were connecting with nature. And within that space of nature, there's the sun, and the sun provides a rich amount of abundance of vitamin D, which is essential, right? We look at, what does that do? Well, when you're outside, you're getting fresh air. There's actually some interesting studies that go into it, that when you're outside, the air, like the quality of it, depending on where you are outside, of course, can be much higher on that scale of richness, if you will. And of course, with the sun, you're getting your vitamin D that's going to support with your sleep regulation cycle, with your stress levels, with your mood. And then you're outside with nature and you're playing with other people. That builds a system of society of connection. I can guarantee if somebody was out there studying all of us, they're probably seeing so many positives take place. So the habit here that I want to encourage you to do is a look at consistently, how can you connect with nature? It may be that you're engaging in outdoor walks. It may be that you're sitting outside watching the birds. I love doing that. I can, I'm excited about retirement. I get to sit out there and watch birds. I found out the other day, I think a red cardinal, I believe it's a red cardinal. I'm gonna say I think, I could be wrong. They shed the feathers on their head. And I wanna say there was this red cardinal and it flew towards my house. And I'm like, why is that small bird with a bald head? And I told my wife and she's like, what is going on there? And I think I read somewhere that that's a red cardinal that does that. All right, so the last healthy habit, and my friends know that there's so many of them. The ones that I shared today, I think these are fundamental ones that we want to implement into our life. The last one is your sleep. So many of us really play around with this in a manner in which, from my background, this is not a professional opinion, right? This podcast is not a professional setting. This is just Juan, right? Not Dr. Santos. This is just Juan hanging, chilling with you. Ample research, it really connects into the importance of us being consistent, that's the word there, with our sleep and identifying what is our ideal sleep amount. So with that being said, identify a how much sleep is your ideal amount. Typically it's within that 6 to 8 hour range. Though some individuals may say, I need less or I need more. Think about that. Of course, this is unique to each of us. The next point is consistency. What can often really hurt our sleep, which then hurts the rest of the day, is irregular sleep. That's where you're going to bed one day at 10 p.m. The next day you got one too many beers and you're going to bed at 1. And that just keeps shifting up and down depending on the day. Well, if you think about the importance of sleep, right? Sleep helps you feel refreshed. Sleep provides, it's like a nice recharge. Like you charge your phone, you're charging your mind and body. Getting healthy, good sleep is going to promote increase in focus, increase in concentration. It regulates your circadian rhythm. That's just that natural body clock, if you will. And of course, when you're not getting good sleep, I mean, there's really profound effects. You could wake up really delusional. Like, you're like, what am I even seeing? What am I even thinking? And that's where things can get really become negative in your life. So, get some good sleep, my friends. And there's ample items of support. I like to play around with the five senses. So, if you're not familiar with how to play around with those, it's quite simple. You think about your sense of smell, taste, sound, etc. And then you utilize yourself as like a subject in a research study here, and you go, you know what? I'm gonna try and dim my lights a bit. Well, now you are playing around with the light, which is a sight. What you can see there, and maybe you want to shift the type of sheets that you use or the texture of the pillow. So now you're playing a little bit around with feel. And maybe there's a certain sound you want in the room. So you got rain sound on the sound machine, you got white noise, you got thunder, maybe some birds on the sound machine. Play around with each of them, see what takes place. For me, I see a strong effect when it comes to my sense of smell. If I have one of those diffusers, that's a little like oil diffuses and goes into the air, and I'll put in there some eucalyptus. I'll put in there some lavender, and that stuff hits me, and I'm like, oh, I want to get some good sleep tonight. I also enjoy texture, so I'm really a big advocate of the weighted blankets. So if you're not familiar with those, and you see me out there in the gloom, ask questions. I've got one of those, and I'll put that on me. Even at my counseling practice over here in the Greensboro Community Santos Counseling, we have one in our office, and many of our patients that come in, it may be during a session, they'll put that on, or have it somewhere on the body, and you notice that it creates a sensation that often reduces stress, supports of calmness. It's a really wonderful effect. One of the items that I like about it is if you think about a baby comes into life and it's coddled, right? Parent gives it a hug and it squeezes it in. And that feels really good. It's even exercises that we do where you could like hug yourself. I think a lot of schools do that through K to 12. They have kids stretch and they go, give yourself a hug, right? So it's comforting. And in essence, what you're doing is you're applying a sense of pressure on yourself. So the blanket can provide that to a degree, of course, in a different manner. However, unique to each individual, it can be effective. All right, my friends. So listen, I've had a really good time today on this episode. I hope that you found it supportive. You got some habits. Now, when you walk away with them, you've got the knowledge, right? You know what these habits are. The next step, that's the work. All caps, WORK. Put these items into your life. And then when you have them in your life, not just for one day, not just for a couple of weeks, right? You wouldn't want a job and they're paying you just for a week. Of course, it could be a huge payout, so that could be okay. More likely, you want consistency. So with these habits, we want consistency. You want to put them into your life, give it time. A habit takes somewhere between that 45 to 90 day range based on research where they kick in. And then once it's in there, evaluate. You may need to shift it around a little bit, play with it to make it unique to you. If it doesn't work right away, it doesn't mean that it's, not effective. It just means that it may need some tweaks to be unique to you. All right, my friends, enjoy your day.